Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for the attendance. Welcome to the earnings call for the first quarter of 2022 of Auren Energy. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded. After the presentation of the company, there will be a question and answer session for analysts and investors. If you need assistance during the conference call, please press star zero to speak to the operator. The link to access the webcast transmission with audio and slides is available on Auren's Investor Relations website at www.ri.aurenenergia.com.br. The presentation is also available for download on the website. Before proceeding, we would like to clarify that any comments and statements that may be made during the conference call regarding Auren's business prospects, projections, and operational and financial goals constitute beliefs and assumptions of the company's management, as well as information currently available. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, market conditions, and other operating factors could affect the future results of the company and could lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. It is also important to note that the results disclosed in this presentation are pro forma, unaudited, and do not reflect the results contained in the financial statements filed with CVM. The presentation will be made by Mr. Fabio Zanfelice, Chief Executive Officer, and Mario Bertoncini, Vice President of Finance and IRO. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Fabio Zanfelice, who will start the presentation. You may proceed, sir. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We are here to discuss the results of the first quarter of our company, Auren Energia. To start, I would like to invite everyone to move to page two, where we are going to go over the agenda. This is a summary of the points we are going to address today. We are going to talk about the highlights for the quarter, a little bit about the growth strategy, some indicators. We'll talk about the current scenario and in the past few months, a little bit of the operational and financial performance, and then we'll move on to the closing remarks. Let's move on to slide five, please. We'll talk about the highlights for the first quarter 2022. In relation to the growth strategy, we started the operation of Ventos do Piauí II and III. We're going to discuss this more in detail. We have been very diligent in our M&A strategy, looking for opportunities in the sector. In March, we had the reestablishment of Ventos do Araripe III operation, and we also observed that there was a better hydrological condition and also the recovery of the wind speed in March. In relation to Paraibuna, whose plant is going to start in June. We have plans to continue operating this plant according to the regime of regulated quota and tariffs. In relation to the financial performance, we reported an adjusted EBITDA of 340 million BRL and a strong operational cash generation. and we also had an additional contribution of 1.5 billion from the controlling shareholder, CPP Investments. We also would like to announce the distribution of 100 million BRL of minimum and complementary dividends. Now moving on to page seven, please. Ventos do Piauí Wind Complex has started operating according to our schedule and on budget, and it has an investment of 1.3 billion from BNDES. We have disbursements already made related to BNDES of 1.3 billion. It's a long investment that will last 24 months, and this project has already synergy, and 70% of the energy has already been contracted until 2032. There are other five units that have been authorized by the Electrical Energy Agency, and the completion is estimated to happen in 2022 when all wind turbines are going to be operational. Okay, on slide eight and nine, we are going to talk about the National Interconnected System. On slide nine, we show important data related to the sector. We'll talk about the natural energy that has been generated in the period from October 20th, October 2020 to March 2022. As you all know, in 2021, we had the worst hydrological crisis in our history. Since September 2021, we had a level which was down 34.5% in comparison to the long-term average. There was a recovery of this natural energy, even though we had to face the phenomenon La Niña, and the temperatures helped to form channels of humidity that in fact helped us to recover the FLSO in the period, which was reported nearly 4% above the historical average, which was a little improvement that we recorded. As a consequence of this adverse condition, we have a dry period, nearly 18 average gigawatts, representing nearly 20% of the system's total generation. There was a mismatch of the MRE, and it was reflected also in the effects of 2022 in the first quarter. On the next slide, we continue talking about the interconnected system. Considering the recovery that was reported in relation to the and due to the thermal dispatch, we had an improvement in the inflows, and if we observed in 2022, it was one of the worst reservoir levels in history. We reached 70%, however, in March 2022, which was a good recovery that we had recorded. As a consequence of the water crisis, we reached the highest level of operation in our system in the and this affected the performance of the company also in 2022. Okay. talking about now about the operational performance we would like to discuss. Ohio hydroelectric assets that started operating, such as Paraibuna in Porto Primavera. So we have a comparison of the energy sold in the first quarter of 2022 in relation to the first quarter of 2021. Below, we show a little bit of the strategy of the trading of the energy of those plants. I would like to mention that this reading the best decision would be on the following slide. Ladies and gentlemen, please wait. Ladies and gentlemen, please wait. With this, we observe our profile of generation of 2021, our certifications of P50 and P90, and we stood 7% of the certification P90 and 2% above the P50 certification. And this was associated with the incident that we had with transformer. And in the first quarter 2022, we had 18% in relation to P90 and 22% in relation to P50. And the reason was the problem we had with transformers, but the problem has already been solved fully. So as of now, I'm going to turn the call to Mario Bertoncini, who will discuss the financial aspects. Thank you, Fabio. Now moving on to page 15, we are going to discuss the EBITDA evolution for the quarter. The EBITDA in the first quarter of 2022 was 340 million BRL. And on page 15, we show the bridge, the evolution of the EBITDA of the first quarter 2021 until it reached the first quarter of 2022. As to hydroelectric generation, the results were very satisfactory, and the agreements undergo adjustments, of course, regular according to the indexation from one year to the other. And we'd like to remind you that that share to which we are exposed in the contract in dollars, the hedges that were made up to December last year do not prevail for this first quarter or for this year of 2022. So we made a decision to be exposed to the dollar this year. In addition, we like to note, as Fabio mentioned, that smaller purchase that we saw in the energy balance 2 pages ago at a higher cost saved costs in 32 million in this first quarter of 2022, if we compare to the first quarter of last year. In relation to wind generation, we would like to point out that in this first quarter of this year, we had a reduction in 8 million real of the provision for annual adjustments and every 4 years that is also favorable to the results in the segment. In relation to trading of energy, we'd like to mention that this higher prices when purchasing energy, when we equate the balance, has some effect in the results of the trading company. And in relation to holding plus pipeline, the 32 million that was lower in relation to the first quarter of last year referred to non-recurring expenses connected to personnel, materials, and services, driven especially by the corporate restructuring. Most of its costs are allocated in this first quarter of 2022. On page 16, we show you the evolution to the cash flow, EBITDA, and cash flow of the company. So in the bar graph, we come from an EBITDA of 340 million, and our cash flow was 277 million. The operating cash flow was the conversion was 59%, which was driven by working capital, direct taxes, and a little share of CapEx in CapEx sustaining. And in relation to working capital, it was related to the Vivest, that involves 15 million reals per quarter. As of the OCF, we would like to mention the CapEx, which is expanding, that was allocated in Ventos do Piauí II and III. And in addition, a part of this was used for litigations of 65 million reals in addition to capital increase. So we ended the quarter with a leverage of 1.5 times net debt over EBITDA. And with this profile that we can see on the right, the bottom of the page, we can see that we have the cash generation of 3.2 billion and average term for the amortization of the debt of 7 years and no cash pressure in the short or medium terms. So I turn the call back to Fabio for his final remarks. Thank you, Mario. Okay, on slide 18, we have our closing remarks. We would like to draw your attention to Auren in the market using an investment platform for renewable energy and trading. Our focus is in the creation of value to the shareholders. For the allocation of our capital, we started our operation as a unified company on March 28th this year. And we would also like to draw your attention to our growth strategy. We continue delivering, as we had previously mentioned, operations of Ventos do Piauí II and III, and we continue developing strategies of greenfield and also evaluating opportunities in the market that have some hitting signs. And in terms of financial performance, we had an adjusted EBITDA of 340 million BRL, a strong cash generation. And we would like to mention our financial capacity to allocate and also to put in practice our growth strategy that we have just presented. Okay, with this, I would like to start the Q&A session. Excuse me. Now we are going to open the Q&A session. To ask a quick question, please press star one. Our first question comes from André Sampaio with Santander.
Good morning, everyone. I have a question in relation to capital allocation strategy that you adopted. We have seen that the market is concerned about the investment plan of this cash available today. I would like to know if you have any sort of deadline when you intend to use this cash, and if not, according to this deadline, if you would start a more aggressive dividend policy.
André, I'm going to start answering your question, and then Mário will complement. We do not have a deadline for this strategy, as you know. As we have mentioned, we have this stringent discipline in capital allocation, and we are always on the lookout for assets that can bring good returns to the company, and that takes some time. We did not have any plans to have those opportunities in the first months of the company. This is a construction that the company has been implementing since the first day we were in the market and look for those opportunities. Mário's teams, the team of new businesses, have been working a lot, evaluating and observing all the opportunities, and also the opportunities which are not so obvious in the market. We are making effort to find those opportunities so that we can meet those expectations in relation to our growth strategy. Reinforcing what I said, we do not have a deadline. This is something we are going to be discussing in the next few months, and any changes in the strategy is going to be communicated to the market timely. I don't know if Mário would like to add anything.
Yeah, this is it. The company is prepared for this step of potential growth. We have a cash position, which is very robust nowadays. Our debts are very extended. We have current operations that can bring robust cash generation, so it's important to be ready. The external and the internal scenarios are very challenging from the fiscal economic viewpoint. This turbulence may even favor those players who are ready for a capital allocation and can offer better opportunities. It's important to have discipline, criteria, and to be ready. We are not going to make hasty decisions that might destroy value. We can ensure that this is not gonna happen.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for the answer.
Our next question comes from Rafael Nagano with Credit Suisse.
Good morning, everyone. Along the lines of André's question, I would like to know if you can see any relevant aspect in relation to returns of the assets that are available at the market now. If we look at solar and wind opportunities, do you see any difference in those segments or opportunities? I would also like to know the development of the pipeline in relation to the sale of those
contracts. How do you see the scenario of prices for those contracts, and what are the demands for sales of contracts?
Okay, thank you.
Rafael, in relation to the assets out there in the market, we have observed that the competition is more fierce in relation to the assets that are performed, and these have impact on the return of the negotiations. But we have to look at the opportunities exactly where we have complementarity and where we can deliver value. So we have to make the correct assessment of the asset. So we believe that there are opportunities in the market where synergy can also add to those acquisitions. But as I mentioned in the previous answer, we have been looking for those opportunities, the M&A team as well as the company as a whole. Yes, as you asked about preference, I can say that we are a player of renewables that include wind and solar energies. What we're looking for is a balance of those sources, hydro, wind, and solar. So we may start making acquisitions in the hydroelectric area because we're always looking for opportunities of diversification and the return. So the search for this diversification, those synergies, is something always present at the company. And this will help us decide where to invest. In terms of price, we have observed, as you have seen, that the CapEx has been allocated in solar and wind. And in the long-term prices, we do not see any direct increase, but there are trends that we started to observe of cost increase in the long curve, so that this CapEx increase is likely to be consistent. So we continue working on the strategy of purchasing energy. Some clients are looking for longer-term contracts, and some of them look for shorter-term contracts. And that will depend on how much the clients are dependent on energy, and this will depend on the area of operation of each consumer. So we are very active in the trading company, looking for opportunities in different ways of selling our energy. And that's why we always say that it's necessary to have a very active trading company so that we can look at all opportunities, long-term, short-term contracts, and also self-production, which is also an activity that we have been developing for a long time. We are pioneers in developing this sort of activity. So the opportunity that we have, that we see, is to seek types of trading of energy as demanded by our customers in the next years as well.
Our next question comes from Henrique Peretti with J.P. Morgan.
Hello, good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I read in the press release that you no longer report the remote contingencies or litigation. I would like to know why you changed this criterion. And do you have a more updated guidance in relation to the level of disbursement you plan, or if you have any updates of anything relevant? Thank you.
Hello, Henrique. Thank you very much for your question. This is Mario speaking. Yes, in fact, the disclosure in the explanatory notes in the remote litigations is a practice that came from CESP. Before it was privatized,
for reasons that was quite understandable at the time. It was a litigation that evolved at aggressive rates at the time, and the state company had its reason to limit to be limited in its capacity to solve the litigation. So it made a lot of sense to see the market following the case like this. After 3 years, 3 years after the privatization, we maintained the criteria of disclosure so that the market could monitor together with us the resolution strategy. And now, after establishing Auren, we thought it was a moment to go back to normalcy. In other words, to have the quarterly disclosure of the possible and probable litigations and stop reporting the remote litigation. Some considerations I would like to mention. All the effort, all the focus, and the priority of the company in solving the litigation is still the same. The same people coming from CESP that were managing the liabilities with the same focus and with the same priorities. Point two, I would like to say that the remote litigation, even though it is not closed, continues to have a downward or reducing result. Henrique, I don't think we should anticipate any movement, but we have an expectation that we are going to continue evolving positively in terms of risk reduction, and all the updates or all the judgments or decisions are going to be reported to the market on a quarterly basis. Thank you, Mario. Our next question comes from Daniel Travink with Safra Bank.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity. I would like to comment on the trading strategy that you adopted. You have a very large trading company, so I would like to understand your strategy for the breakthrough of the market, if you want to reach the retail market, if you have any plan that has already been developed for that. And if you, I would also would like to know if you have any plan to diversify to other areas such as transmission, for example.
Daniel, in relation to energy trading, we have been focused on the market, and we are looking at the expansion of the free market according to the applicable law. The market in Brazil, just like as in other countries, are having some breakthroughs, and there are very high numbers of consumers to be served in the free market. And how can we meet the requirements of this new market? We are going to invest in the revitalization of those processes, and this is something that we have been doing for some time. And the way we serve customers is different from how we serve large clients. So we are going to look at the retail market, and for that purpose, we have to have capillarity and also automated and agile processes so that we can meet their needs. In terms of digitalization, we adopted this as something important for our strategy. So I mentioned capillarity, but something else is to increase the capillarity so that we can meet the needs of more customers. And we are a very large trading company, and we have to change our attitude in terms of how broad we can be when meeting the needs of our clients. And another point that we have been invested in is data analytics, data science, so that we can start to understand and use those tools, both as for energy trading using algorithms, and we have already been experimenting on some algorithms so that we can find a position automatically. And we use all those tools so that we can understand the market, because the customers are going to demand different services and products, and they will wish us to be served with a lot of flexibility and simplicity, different from how we have been operating so far. So we have to be very close to the distributing company that in order to meet the needs of the client. So this is something that we have been making, developing products and services so that we can be prepared to meet the demand and the needs of the new clients that are going to be part of this market. As I mentioned in the beginning of my answer, we are always on the lookout for modernization, and we're making investments in this kind of a strategy, which needs to be aligned to the modernization scenario and how the market's going to play out. We know that those investments are large, and we have to be very well aligned so that the investment can be made correctly at the right time, so that we will not make any investments that will become obsolete in the future. So all of this is part of our strategy in order to meet this new market, and we are quite confident that we are prepared for that, because this is part of our growth strategy. Okay. If you could talk about other business segments. Oh, yes, yes, of course. You asked about transmission. Yeah, that's right. Yes, please. Okay. As for transmission, we also evaluate transmission opportunities, and we have made this very clear. We look at transmission as an activity that can be a complement to our portfolio. The challenge is to ensure return that's compatible to this portfolio. Transmission has other attributes that reduce the volatility of return of the company. So these are different ways of looking at the transmission segment. So this is quite challenging, but if it will make sense to us, because we thought about investing in transmission using existing assets. So we understand that if we invest in transmission platforms, greenfield, and to compete with the other players which are already established in the market, we understand that this is not the path that we're going to start in transmission. So it's not going to be greenfields. We look for a minimum platform, and we are also going to be observing how this new activity can add to the portfolio and also can be a synergy to our portfolio, according to the rules that we have established here when we add value to the shareholders. Okay, thank you. Perfect. If there are no further questions, we would like to turn the call back to Mr. Fabio Zanfelice for his final remarks. You may proceed, sir. Okay, thank you. I would like to thank everyone for attending this earnings results call. The results of the first quarter is a little bit different from what we had seen, but because, as we said, Auren started to operate as such in the market as of March 28th. So what we have now is a combination of the assets that underwent a process of two phases of consolidation. The first phase was when VTRM consolidated Votorantim in February, and then there was a consolidation of the shareholders' base in the outing. So we have all this process of corporate reorganization, and it does not incorporate all the synergy that we are going to add in the next few months in 2022 as of the combined operations of the companies under the name of Auren. Now, I would like to thank you for attending this conference, and we will see you in a few months' time so that we can discuss the results of the second quarter 2022. Thank you, everyone.
The conference call of Auren has come to an end. We would like to thank everyone's participation and have a good day.